Welcome, my friends. This is the Hour of Truth again. And I have Phil and Brad with me, and we'll be with you in just a moment. And we're on. Sweet.
Hey, y'all. Good to be here.
Good evening, everybody. Or morning, afternoon.
It's 12:01. It's afternoon.
So
when I started this.
Every now and then you have to stick your head out of the closet and figure out what time of day it is, I guess, huh?
It's not like I can look at your clock and get a clue, usually.
Well, you know, a stop clock's right twice a day. Mine is never right. It's running.
And it's a blessing to me, let me tell you.
Yeah. You have to want to know what time it is to be around me. Oh, me.
Once again, you've cracked yourself up.
Yes, I did. And the crack is getting wider and wider. All right, we have an interesting time here. I was sitting there thinking to myself, self, you know, in the BC days, I related greatly to the Henry David Thoreau line that the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation, except mine was sometimes quiet and sometimes not so quiet, because as you know, the more distressed I got, the more I started hollering like a little girl. So
I'm glad you gave that up.
I don't take pain well. I'm just saying that just
me and Bill Clinton feel my pain.
Yeah. I'm feeling. There's no telling what he feels. But I digress. The things that we go through as Christians, you touched on a little bit on in the service out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I thought it'd be interesting to spend some time in there today, because as I was reading through it, it's really pretty good. And always profitable. So we'll spend some time looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and see what all comes of it.
Good. Let's do it.
All righty. Somebody going to read? Or
I'll read.
All right. You're up. Yep. Go ahead.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother.
Wait a second. 2 Corinthians.
Oops.
It's all good.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, or Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, when I was in Peter. Interesting how they both have similar openings in their letters. It's you say, well, you know, Paul opens his pretty much the same way.
Pretty close.
In the same manner. But when Peter opens his, opens it just about like they have the carbon.
One spirit?
Yeah. One mind, one spirit, one body, one Savior, one God. In us all, that's terrible.
Above all, through all,
and in all, yeah.
It's kind of interesting. You kind of got the gospel right there in verse 2. You
know? Yeah.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It is also given to apostles to give out grace and peace, and that is also a standard thing from all those that we mentioned, Peter, the epistles of Peter and Paul. Keep going.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
All right. Why do we go through all the things that we go through? It's always ends up being that somebody else down the line profits from it, right?
Yeah, Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation.
Right.
Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So the promise of tribulation is every bit as sure as the promise of salvation through grace and faith.
You know, we go, I mean, just like you said, we go through these tribulations as well as, you know, we're being, it's something what we have gone through, something that we have experienced can help out, just like you said before, can help out somebody else. And, you know, not just that, it also, with this tribulation, it brings us to a place where we trust God and believe Him in the midst of these things, and it builds our faith as well.
Either proves our faith or proves our need, but it always proves God's faithful.
Yeah.
So, and we have received comfort, so we know what it's like to receive it. We know what it's like to need it. And when we've received it, we can give it. And that's, you know, that's a good enough reason for Him to have given it. But He gave it because we needed it.
Yeah, this stuff sounds promising and good when you're sitting here and you're not in physical pain and the lights are still on and the mobile home you live in or whatever. But when you're really in the deep end of the pool, it's difficult in my experience to hang on to this stuff.
Well, there's a certain aspect of we succeed spiritually when we're pressed, but that he kind of deals with this later on, and we'll come back to that. It is worthy of note that he says in verse 4, who comfort us all in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that just explains why that works, how that works. And, you know, this, why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people kind of stuff? It's not bad things. But bad thing for you is something profitable for somebody else if you are of the right mind, if you are Christ Jesus's, and you don't cop an attitude about it.
He said in 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. It doesn't say he just suddenly ends the tribulation because you asked him to, although that could be the case, I'm sure. He comforts us in our tribulation. And I'm thinking of that verse, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So the tribulation, the trouble we suffer, is essential to our growth in the Spirit. It's an essential way to get past the rule of our own flesh. Now, is that Hebrews, Christ, speaking of the sufferings of Christ, Christ being the captain of our salvation, also was perfected through the things that He suffered. So you see, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, but in the flesh as a man, was required to go through all manner of suffering.
Yeah.
And the servant's not above the master, so if He didn't escape suffering in this world, why would we think that we would?
You know, and you know, the other thing that comes to my mind is, you know, in Hebrews 3, or I'm sorry, 2:18, you know, it says, "For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted." That means aid.
Because He knows.
He knows, and He's been there.
And, you know.
Well, that's part of the nature of Hebrews 4, where it says, as, you know, as a man He was tempted in all ways such as we, but without sin. It is There's nothing that we go through that he hasn't been through already.
Yeah, Jesus Christ is God. Being Jesus, the Son of God, doesn't make him less than God. But Jesus is also the Son of Man, in John 12. And being the Son of Man doesn't make him different than men. He was, like this verse in Hebrews, he suffered the same temptations, the same things we go through, he went through. And so also in Hebrews, we have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of infirmities. If you go to him and you say, man, sir, I am struggling.
I'm special and nobody has ever been through anything like I'm going through.
And he can look you in the eye and say, well, yeah, start right here. I've been through what you're going through.
That's right.
That's right. Well, and the point there is that you got a loving Father, merciful Father. So in the midst of these things, you can call upon Him, and He has been there, and He understands us. We don't understand, and that's it makes Him so good in that, because you can call upon Him, you can trust Him, and no matter what's going on, that's where you can lay your trust and your hope in, is in Him.
He is a perfect compassion. It's even better than the most compassionate person you have ever known.
And you don't have to separate. He's not shocked when you come to him. He's not shocked when you come to him with whatever you're dealing with. One of the main tactics of the enemy is divide and conquer, right? So what happens is you get under the gun. You probably, I'm going to venture a guess, you don't deal with it very well, at least initially. And then you realize, oh man, I'm not doing it right. And then you want to hide it. All this stuff tends to get you separated initially from the body. You don't want to go to your pastor, your discipleship coach, or whoever you're dealing with, and say, "Oh man, I'm not swimming here. I'm drowning."
Yeah, I got to get this right because it stinks to be me if I don't.
And yet, the promise in Hebrews that Jesus Christ Himself is somebody who understands experientially, not understands like some math formula, but understands like some guy that's swam the same river that you're drowning in right now.
It's not just an intellectual understanding. I've been there and done that.
He knows.
Well, let's continue.
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether
we're going to stop there, man. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, is, in other words, it's almost like the same process, the same, as sin abound, much more did grace abound, or some such thing as that.
Flip side of the same coin.
Absolutely. Does sufferings abound, the consolation abound.
Right.
And, that's... that's a good thing. There isn't any suffering that there isn't consolation for. The comfort's available.
And that's what I want to know. I want to know the comfort, the consolation. I want to hug from the Lord. But I know from my own experience that the Lord shows up when your back's against the Red Sea, and likewise the Lord comforts you when you're troubled and in need of comfort.
He'll send you somebody to kick you when you're down, and
and that's why you're here.
That's why I'm here.
That's a facetious comment, y'all.
Well, one of the things you said there was, we talked about distress, and with your back against the wall and everything like that. But I mean, with those situations, it. Tell you what it does for me. I mean, it puts me in a place where, I can't trust myself.
We don't either.
I can't trust. I can't trust in my own ability or myself or anything. I have to trust on the Lord. I mean, where Steve was talking about in Romans about, distresses presses from every side.
Yeah.
And the point. For that, it brings me to saying, oh Lord, help me, like David, help me, I lift this up to you, and pray in tongues in a situation or whatever it may be, but putting my focus on Him and His ability and trusting in that and what He has already accomplished. What was it that you said earlier, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. and believing that, believing his word, because his word says it.
Yeah, and that's the foundation for the next verse.
And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation.
Either way, it's and this idea that you know, if the person who's ministering the gospel is going to be free of affliction and this is saying this is a part of the ministry of the gospel. And if you're humble and have this attitude, then you're actually going to see God meet you in the ministry of the gospel.
You're saying the thing that is a part of the ability to minister the gospel is the suffering of the minister of the gospel.
Of the ability of the minister to realize that his affliction is for the consolation of those he's ministering to. His affliction is being comforted, and in some cases, the comfort is actually ministering to other people.
Make sure I'm getting what you're saying. You're saying that, first off, the minister of the gospel doesn't mean that you've got a ministration card in your pocket, which I know you do. But a minister of the gospel is somebody who loves Jesus Christ and is attempting to bring that love to the people around you.
Right.
Okay. So, anybody,
it's not God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, which is just a little bit of truth, and then it's a little bit of untruth.
Error.
It is God loves you and has a plan. Now, are you going to choose to get into his plan or not? Then that's an accurate representation of the gospel.
And when you get into his plan, and this is any of us speaking, not just a preacher. Well, of course, we're all preachers as you go preach. So you're telling me that if I elect to serve Christ, then I'm going to fulfill the sufferings of Christ, which are left unfulfilled, from verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, then I'm going to suffer them.
Well, he's not here, and you are.
I am his body.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, one of the things that, I mean,
if anyone come after me,
right? And you know, one of the things is, I mean, the reason why we go through afflictions, one is because we're not of this world, but the other thing is going through these afflictions. I mean, just like we were talking about before, you know, is for it says, and whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, the minister gets the one that gets hit with all the stuff first. The pastor will get hit with all this stuff first before it goes along and hits the rest of the body. And then the reason for that is that then he can minister the comfort and love of Jesus Christ and the gospel to the people around him as they go through it.
And then there's a comfort.
And that's kind of what that's saying.
And then there's a comfort for the minister in ministering that consolation to somebody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The minister himself gets the consolation, and he gets ministered to just simply by being able to minister.
Absolutely.
Doing what he was called to do to begin with.
You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, I look at, I think it's Psalm 73 where he goes, man, where he's going, you know, man, how long shall the wicked prosper, and how long all these things? And he goes, until I came to the household of God. You know, I know for me, and then, you know, I know for me, I mean, people come and knock at my door, come visit me or on certain matters. And, you know, as I'm ministering, it ministers to me, and it's just a joy to be able to do that. And then I go, that's why I go through what I go through.
Yeah, Paul, I'm kicking this around with you partly because I just came through about 14 months of, I would say, brutal agony, but man, any kind of pain that doesn't leave you alone after a while, and illness and the nausea. And I do understand that the Lord loves me, and I understand He is healing me, but there's something in this that's still a question mark for me. I'm still trying to get a handle on it. So I'm very much enjoying this today.
Well, the thing about verse 6 is, whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation. Whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation. And salvation is the same thing either way.
It sounds almost like the
whether I live is to live under Christ. Whether I die under Christ. So, you know, it's however it works, it's all for the Lord. And however this works, whether it's affliction or comfort, it's for the salvation of those who hear the testimony that I've cut of Jesus Christ and how good He is.
I tag something in from my own experience. You'll see people that have troubles, and they'll begin coming around, keeping fellowship, definitely coming to church meetings and all. And they're not right. I mean, they are not accepted of the Lord. They're not redeemed yet. And yet the Lord will meet them in it. I know when I was, I lost my arm, my family left me, the fellowship I've been a part of came and informed me that this was a right and just thing, and that everything I was going through was because I was just a freaking mess, or however they phrased it. And what I would do is I would get up on a Sunday morning, roll a short one, smoke about half of it, drink three beers, wait until right after the service started, slip into the church and sit behind the deaf people, because deaf people don't talk to you. They just smile and shake your hand, and that's where I was at. And I was really reaching out to the Lord with everything I had, and He would meet me consistently, normally during praise and worship. And then I'd slide out right before the end of the service because I still didn't want to talk to anybody. And the next week, this cycle would repeat. And you could look at that and go, oh man, you weren't saved. Well, duh. But I didn't die either. And the Lord met me time after time after time. And even though I was still in a very bad way, that was like the beginning. It was the beginning of renewal and reconciliation. Like you say, Paul, God's a very good God.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't give us what we deserve.
Thank God.
Next verse.
And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation.
All right. Yeah. Now you see, that was the word that I was wanting to use up there, but in the previous verse. Because it's like when I'm going through something and I minister to somebody else and the Lord meets me and comforts me in the affliction while I'm doing the ministry, it's like we become partakers of that.
That what?
We become partakers of the consolation that is in Jesus Christ. And as we are partaking in it, we can minister it. Because we are refreshed in it and know its comfort. And we know that there is need of that comfort in the person we're ministering to. And we also, that's kind of the down payment on that wonderful inheritance that's in store for us. When you see the Lord will meet you like that.
That's sweet.
It's an experiential proof of I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. He gives me comfort in my affliction and gives me comfort for the afflicted.
Yeah, I know how to abound. That's easy. But Paul said, I know how to be abased.
I know how to be abased and to abound.
Can I tag in here, Paul? 1:7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also the consolation. This flies in the face of the gospel that's been preached in America during my adult life,
yeah,
which is rather long at this point, because the way the gospel's preached is, well, if you're doing pretty good, then you're blessed. But that's backwards.
The same message that the religious of that day was preached. They was presumed that if you were wealthy, and then God was
happy with
sending his favor on you. Yeah, he was happy with you.
But Jesus said a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses.
That's right.
So the apostle here is writing and saying, look, part of the reason my hope in you is steadfast is because I see you're a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. Therefore, I know you're going to be a partaker of the consolation, which was his goal.
It's counter to our makeup to receive rejection. And, you know, when you get rejected over and over again, especially as a minister of reconciliation, as you offer reconciliation to these people through the gospel, and they reject you, it's a suffering. It's not a personal rejection. But it's the same rejection of Jesus that he had to suffer through. I mean, he had to suffer through it when the Father had to reject him as he was hanging on the cross.
Well, it's an affront to your pride and your flesh initially. But so much of the stuff we've been talking about, you know, the long haul perspective.
Yeah.
Where's your intent? If you confess that you seek a country, that Christ is your life, that your home is in heaven, then the sufferings of this life, again, the Apostle Paul said, the sufferings of this life are not worthy of even being accounted of. But in the moment, when somebody's telling you to,
if you reconcile yourself that you're going to die, that just like Jesus did, he's here to die. That's why I came. And then remember that he was here to die and rise again.
You know, I've been praying a little bit lately, and I can't remember the name of the prophet in the Old Testament. The Lord said, set your face as flint. Don't pay any attention to their hard looks. That's what I've been praying for myself, because I don't have a face set as flint, man. I know it. I know I'm not there yet.
But this is one of those if-then statements. If your hope... If you're steadfast, knowing that in that you are partakers of the suffering, you shall also be partakers of the consolation. And he says, our hope of you is steadfast.
Their hope of them is steadfast.
Knowing. It's not exactly an if-then statement, but there is a two-part. As you partake of the sufferings, you shall also partake of the consolation. Next verse.
For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life.
Okay. Let me go back to last verse for a second. In the same way, right, that Jesus was not of the world, the disciples that he was ministering to were not of this world, the apostles, right? In the same way that you are partakers of the suffering, in the same way you also are partakers of the consolation.
Absolutely. And, you know, holding on this verse is a good thing to hold on to. I mean, in the midst of the sufferings you partake of.
Yeah.
I mean, because right here it's like, yeah, you're suffering. Yeah, I know you're suffering, but at the same time, this is for your good, and you're going to also have the consolation as well.
In the same way, the suffering is immense, and it's so the consolation is going to be immense.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
So... there you go.
Can I hit verse 8?
And verse 8 talks about the press, right?
Right. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Well, so here you got Not just
I figure you as a minister walk around with that, realizing that death sentence that's in effect on you. You're gonna die. And
he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this.
Arm yourself with the same mind that also was in Jesus Christ. Right?
Amen.
This was the mind.
And he wasn't trying to cover it up. He says, look, I don't want you to be ignorant of our trouble that came upon us. But you know what? In the most of the church today, they would have me ignorant of the trouble. The preachers are taught, hey, don't keep company with your congregation. They're going to figure out that you put your pants on one leg at a time. You struggle with pornography or whatever it is. But Paul's saying, man, I want you to know this. We can't handle it. We're pressed out of measure, despairing even of life. I mean, that, if I walked in and I found you sitting here despairing even of life, Paul, actually because I understand the gospel a little better, it wouldn't diminish you in my eyes. But for most people, because of the way they're taught, when they see the guys, the top dogs in the church, screw up, oh man, they're ready to pack it up.
Most of the time, they use it to justify themselves in whatever it is they want to do.
Flock.
Yeah.
You know, but you know what this is going about too is even the apostles are saying, you know, look, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves.
But in God.
And, you know, and that's part of that distress I'm talking about.
Because
hey, we have the sentence of death.
Yeah. We have the sentence of death. He raised the dead.
How does that work out for you?
That works out pretty good for me.
I like what Philip Walthall said when the tax bill came in. This is big! This is so big! I better pray about it. I'm not even going to worry about this. I'm sitting on them brass tacks, bro.
I can't worry about this. This is so big. I just can't do it.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of times, and this kind of comes up in my mind, it's not the boulder in the way, it's the pebble in your shoe that gets you.
Exactly.
And, you know, and I look at it, I was like, this is so freaking big. I can't even begin to worry about this, you know.
I'm going
to
let this go.
But, you know, I know that's going to be taken care of. This is the Lord's ministry. This is the Lord's land. This is the Lord's church. It's going to be taken.
It's the Lord's church, and in the midst of that, you didn't leave that on your own plate very long, did you? Because we were in here, and you called Ricky.
Right. No, I didn't. Actually,
it's big. I'm gonna take it to the Lord. That doesn't mean that it's wrong to go to the people around me, over me, that love me.
And actually, I didn't even call Ricky on this matter.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I called Ricky on a Skype message, and this is how good the Lord is. Because at that point, I was kind of like, "It's
Jeez,
big." I mean, at this point, it's huge. I don't know how this is going to come about. I actually had Skyped Ricky about finding out about the guy moving the trailer. He calls me back a week later and says, so you're trying to find this out? I just received a Skype message. No, I didn't. That was last week. That thing's already moved. But then we started talking, and I started looking at some things, and I was telling him what I was looking at and some of these things and about going it, and he goes, you know, I have here's this advice. I have a better way. And it's a couple suggestions. Go to your bosses. Tell them what's going on. You know, you might want to do this and that. And, you know, I have done that.
I did
that. And, you know, I'm looking at that. And, you know, it's coming up next week that, you know, at some point I'm looking at a raise that might be happening. And, you know, praise the Lord. Everything that he suggested me to go do is coming through. You know, and the Lord's good. And it's not even something that I just was kind of like, I don't know.
You're impressed about measure.
Right.
About what you can do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then the Lord had already provided a way, which I didn't even see coming. And that's a praise the Lord. I knew it was coming. I didn't know how, but that was the way. So praise God.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have known that way if you hadn't availed yourself of the help that's available. I mean, Jesus said, come to me, you are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest to your souls. And everybody loves that. Take my yoke upon you. Slavery. And learn. And so we are called as one body, as Christ's body on earth. And we take advantage, rightfully, of the comfort he's given us through the ministers. Look, I happen to know that Ricky has had a long history of dealing with financial boulders in his path. Right? So he was able to console you with what he needed. Praise God.
This is all part of this really long sentence. We had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, because we trust in something that's got sentenced to death. That's not going to... How's that work? That's not a good thing. But trust is in God, which raiseth the dead, and that's a good thing because we need that.
It's promised.
Oh, it's amen. I mean, without that, we have no hope. Yeah. I know for me, I know my way. You know, I go back...
We have a need, he has the answer.
Absolutely. And it's like, I know my way. It never works.
And his way is bad. Hey, you're thirsty, go hit that rock. What are you talking about?
His way.
Better yet, just speak to the rock. If you hit it, anyway.
Yeah.
His way.
That's right. And his way is not
my
way. Amen.
Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
I love that. And doth deliver. He's delivered us from the great death, which is the second death. But man, he's delivering us day by day from our own rebellion and our own stupidity.
And the death sentence that is enforced in us. So,
amen.
Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf.
Can I back up to verse 10 right here? And, you know, it's something that I remember hearing Steve minister on a bit. And it says, who delivered us from a great death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You know, he's talking about death here, but I also wanted to bring it to the point of how he yet deliver us in just our everyday tribulations, our everyday sufferings, our everyday trials. I mean, you know, look, if we're going to say we have faith in God to raise us from the dead and be in him, you know, that faith starts working now. This is now the boot camp for that.
We get the comfort.
You know, it's now that we practice faith in him to, what, even get up and go to my job and perform or minister in a tight situation.
And that's a grace to you, because I know that you and me walk into our jobs every day going, this is beyond me.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, you start practicing faith now. I mean, if we can't have faith in him now, what makes us think that we're going to have faith that he's going to raise us up and we're going to meet him in the air? You know what I mean? So these are the things that point us to have faith and trust in him.
It's the tribulation that works the faith, that works the patience, the experience.
You think walking on water is tough. Wait until you find out you got to fly. How's that working out for you? About the same as walking on the water.
But that's where we practice our faith in these situations now.
Yeah.
That's a part of it. That's about the learning. That's about the experience. It's about the hope.
You know, down in 11, you also helping together by prayer for us. That's good. That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. You know, we're to rejoice with them that rejoice. We're to sorrow with them that sorrow. And there are people that, poverty-stricken people in these various churches that he had, that Paul was apostle over. And maybe they weren't at a point where they could hand over a bunch of money, but they could pray. And when the money or the gift was bestowed, they were happy on behalf of the people that were able to give, and happy on behalf of the apostles that received it.
Yeah. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you. That's a pretty awesome statement.
But I don't understand the back side of it. We have had our conversation. What is that?
We have had our life.
Right, I get that. More abundantly to you were.
Our life.
Okay,
the grace of God is Fed our life by the grace of God in the world and more abundantly toward you, the grace.
Yeah, he's talking about the grace of God.
Okay.
The grace of God. As soon as you take that first part and you say, you know.
Okay. It's because the syntax is kind of reversed in this.
So you got, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world. You know, in the world, they're talking about living the gospel, being about the grace of Jesus Christ, and not just into the world, but more abundantly to you, Word, because they believe the gospel. And he's talking to them that is a church that's set up, so more abundantly to you, Word, because they're receiving it. The world necessarily doesn't.
That was pretty good, Phil.
It's also kind of significant to think about that when Jesus, certainly in John, maybe in others as well, but in John he says, "I will send the Comforter," and that kind of tells me that this comfort we're receiving is the Holy Ghost. Because that comfort that we're being partakers of and being able to minister to others is the reason why he says I will send the Comforter. Right? The comfort that you're going to need. Because in the same way the world has rejected me, it's going to reject you. It hated me, it's going to hate you. In the world you will have tribulation. But take comfort. Here's the comfort. Take comfort. I've overcome the world.
And that comfort is so necessary. Right before he died, you know, Jesus said, "Well, now you know that I'm at my end and you're sorry, you're sorrowful. But it's expedient for you that I go away, because when I'm gone, the Father will send you another Comforter in my name, which is the Holy Ghost."
Yeah.
And that veil is ripped. You have access to that Spirit.
Yeah.
You have access and the same Spirit and the same mind and the same power as Jesus did. So I need to go, guys, so that you have this that you can be reconciled to God. And not just for you only, but for the whole world as well.
Amen. And I got to take this on in. I think that's John 14, where he starts out saying, God's going to send you a Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. And then he turns right around and says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will comfort you," which tells you what the name of the Holy Ghost is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, let's see.
13?
Yeah. Somebody gonna read that for me, right there.
"For we write none other things unto you than what we what we read or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge even till the end, as also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are our also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus."
All right. In other words, we haven't changed anything. Than what you read, not what you read.
Sorry.
And acknowledge, in other words, agree with. "And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end."
To the end of this life.
Yeah. "As also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are ours, our rejoicing, in the day of the Lord Jesus." There's going to be a reason to rejoice. And you're going to give thanks and be rejoicing that you had me, and I'm going to be thankful that I had you.
And Christ himself.
Sometimes it doesn't feel like that's the way it's going to work, but we have that's
doesn't
a statement.
Doesn't seem like this is going that direction, but that is the same statement. Yes.
Yeah, Christ's hope head in Calvary was many sons brought to glory. It's the same hope.
And in this confidence, I was minded to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. The second benefit. In other words, the second visit.
Yeah. And I know how big that benefit is. You know, I have experienced that where somebody has come down from the ministry, authority in the Lord, and recently and stuff, and that it has been just an outright blessing. A refocusing, a gathering together, a regrouping.
Like a hot shower.
Oh, absolutely. Like an ambulance coming, Bo. Woo, woo, woo. Patch up the wounds. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Next verse.
17. You reading it?
I thought I was.
When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay.
Nah. In other words, he wasn't trying to just be funny.
He's not waffling.
And he isn't in saying yes when it's no, and saying no when it's yes. But in Jesus, it's always yes and amen. It's basically what he's saying here. So, and in that lightness, there's, you think of humor, sarcastic mocking, and just making fun of the situation, laughing at it. And in other words, he just stuck to the truth. He stuck to the truth. And he didn't purpose to minister to the flesh. He purposed to hit them where they need to be hit, and to comfort them where they need to be comforted.
Yeah, because, you know, you think about the first letter was a lot of correctiveness there. And, you know, here's the second one. It's lighter. Lighter. As far as it's as them receiving corrections, he's coming to comfort them as well, you know.
Well, and it could be lighter because they had the guy that was sleeping with his mother or mother-in-law or whatever that was in 1 Corinthians, initially they were tolerating it. The Apostle Paul addressed this thing, and then they went and they actually put the guy in the church for a while.
And not he just addressed that, he addressed a lot of other issues as well.
But they had the reason that he could be lighter and more, as you see in this letter, is because they had responded and they had repented.
Yeah.
He didn't have to come to him with a rod, which he didn't want it to.
Right. But he did come the first time, I guess you can say with rod, but just the correctiveness to get him back on a straight and narrow.
Yeah.
You know, because he loved him. He loved him.
Well, let's see, where was I? I lost myself.
19.
So the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. That's there you go.
That's true.
There you go.
God in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning.
For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Yeah, that's another syntax mess up there, but all the promises of God are yea and amen. to the glory of God.
It's all good in Jesus Christ.
And the glory is to God, is by us.
You know,
we glorify God because all his stuff is all the promises are yea and amen.
It's all there for you. I remember one of the things that you said at the minister's conference, Paul, was, you know, his love is complete. It's all there.
Right.
You know, even the trials and the afflictions and our own crap that we go through is to get shed of that, and all his promises are there. His love is complete to heal you, restore you, to move forward in him and his plan. It's all good.
Even for me.
Even for me. Good.
Oh, it's in 18, but as God is true, our word toward you is not yea and nay. I mean, the apostle's making a heck of a statement here. He's saying, he's speaking as the oracles of God, that the word that they're getting from Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus is the word of God. And he, in 22, well, we haven't gotten there yet, but sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So he's, and just no holds barred, he's confirming the fact that he is an apostle, he's speaking the words of God, and he has this authority.
Yeah.
Well, that's not really something you hear very often in the modern church.
Yeah. And if you did, you'd hear, boy, he's full of himself. He just thinks he thinks his stuff don't stink.
But if you follow back to Jesus is the way and his way is the way, you know, take my yoke upon you and learn my ways. If you want to know the full anointing and the full power and all the benefit and joy of following in the Spirit, you know, it's a package deal. You don't get to pick and choose.
There was a moment of high anxiety. What is he going to say? What is coming out of his mouth?
You talking about me or Paul?
Me. Oh, me. Sometimes I do tickle myself, as I may have mentioned.
I skipped over a verse.
Yeah, for all promises, forget everything but him. Now he which establish us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God.
Anointed us, the apostles.
Right. Who hath also sealed us.
The apostles.
And given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a second record. I know I'm a long way from the screen, but it's big enough. I should not have screwed that up.
I can read it from here.
Moreover, yeah, I know. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. And in other words, God can bear record that I'm not lying here, that this is our stand. And that I'm not sure. Got any ideas what he was going to spare them?
I'm sure it would have been bad if they had responded as they did. I don't know what.
Yeah.
And you know, but I, you know, on the side note of what I see here, where he talks about now, he which established us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God. You know, God's the one that anointed us, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know, a side note on this, you know, these are he's talking about the apostles here, predestinated, some predestinated. I mean, they already chose Christ before the foundation of the world, before the first earth. You already have that they have just, so God has given them and sealed them. I mean, it's the easy way, the hard way for them.
And you're going.
Yeah, you're going. Right? But he's done that. Why has God done that for them as well? I mean, so they can give out the grace of that grace of Christ to others. You know, that was why they were there. You know, and it says right here, not moreover I called God
well, you know
for
what
a record upon my.
You know what the seal is, right?
the Holy Spirit of promise?
Actually, yeah. But I mean, they had a signet ring.
Oh, I know, yeah. Okay.
And they stamped, you might have a bundle of letters wrapped in, or something, sit there and wrap the signet ring on that thing, and that seal.
This is the king's.
And if this gets opened along the way, you're going to know, because that's what the seal is.
And if it hadn't been opened, you know for a fact who sent it.
Yeah.
It's notarized.
Right. And I,
down in 24, we've been talking about the authority of the apostles and the predestinated. Not for that we have dominion over your faith.
That's exactly what I want.
But we are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. The faith you have is not faith in an apostle, it's faith in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So they're not saying that your faith is in them.
Exactly. And you know, and that's why he's saying, look, we are sealed with this. We are sealed with this for to be helpers in your faith toward God and Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
When he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men, and one of the gifts was these guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, they don't rule over our faith. Our faith is
in Christ Jesus.
It's our faith.
They're helpers of our joy, and that is to keep us pointed to Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's exactly it.
Well, that pretty much wraps it up for this week. We are just a couple of minutes away from the computer kicking us out, so I will take and put the music on, because I think we're done.
God bless everybody.
God bless y'all. See you.
God bless.